you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, it's time for another edition of the show that lives by the motto, eat it or starve. That's what my mom always said at the table. I don't care if you like asparagus, Randy. Eat it or starve. Although you already know, I've said it before, I actually prefer the motto, we'll cook for food. Because cooking is a means to an end for me. Namely, eating. So be ye forewarned. If you're one of those people who has the motto, I'd rather eat out, you might want to turn your radio down for the next hour or so, because around here we're all about cooking the meat. And that means you vegans may want to just go ahead and stuff a carrot in each ear. Sure, we're going to talk about animal rights. Which animal is the right one to eat for dinner tonight, if you know what I'm saying.
And I think you do.
Let's just say the Outdoor Cooking Show pulls no punches when it comes to lunches. Oh, I have to stop this before I hurt myself. Let's just drag out the old email bag, see what you guys have to say. Questions or comments for us today on the show. By the way, you can always send us a message on our Facebook page, which is conveniently named The Outdoor Cooking Show. And if you exclude the expletives, we might even read it on the air. Like this one. Could you go back and look up that brand of chorizo that your executive producer was talking about on the Breakfast for Dinner show? I don't have to look it up at all. I remember very well. It's Guerrero brand. The specific kind of Guerrero sausage he mentioned was Fresca. And let me just say this about Greg Berlocker. He's the executive producer that the listener is referring to in this message. Let me just say this about Greg. Greg is a dedicated foodie. And if he says that Guerrero brand Fresca sausage is the best chorizo you can buy, you should take him at his word. Greg's the kind of guy who doesn't endorse food brands unless he's tasted them personally. This guy's really serious about food. As a matter of fact, his motto is, food is a noble pursuit. So that should tell you everything you need to know about how serious he is on the subject. And once again, the chorizo he suggested was Guerrero brand Fresca sausage. Ah, here's another one. Can't believe you took pimento cheese sandwiches to school in a brown paper bag and they never spoiled. No, they never did. I guess I ought to put this one in context for you. We did a show about National Brown Baguette Day. It was last weekend, wasn't it? Yeah. I recalled that when I was a kid, I frequently ate pimento cheese sandwiches for lunch in school. And not once, never did they spoil. And as I pointed out during that segment, that was back in the days when we didn't really have air conditioning in schools. I just throw that brown paper bag in my locker and haul it out at lunchtime. Never had a problem. You know, in fact, now that I stop and think about it, my mother also made me tuna fish and chicken salad sandwiches for school lunches. They never spoiled either. Honestly, I think the only thing that spoiled is the kids who just have to have lunch kits with cold compartments or cold inserts. Maybe it's more about the parents than it is the kids. Jeez, we are so pampered these days. When I was a kid, it was always blazing hot by this time of year. It was always blazing hot in September, too. You know, the watchword on Game of Thrones may be winter is coming, but here in Houston, it's summer is here now. And the first person to complain it gets too hot gets a face full of fist. Say that five times real fast and hope you avoid a four-letter word or two. No, people who say it's too hot in Texas this time of year are usually not from Texas. So I don't pay them no never mind, as Jim Bob Jumpback used to say. Just stick around another month or so and see how hot it gets, you wussy. And in that regard, here's one more from the old email bag. You named off some great songs of summer, but how could you leave out Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams? Yeah, gotta admit, that is a good one. But so is A Summer Song by Chad and Jeremy. Remember that? 1964. Sorry, the disc jockey in me just couldn't help myself. And then there's School's Out for Summer by Alice Cooper. Remind me to tell you my Alice Cooper story sometime. It's hilarious. But anyway, back to summer songs. How about Hot Fun in the Summertime, Sly and the Family Stone? Of course, my favorite is still Nat King Cole, Roll Out Those Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer. Those days of soda and pizza and beer. Yeah, I know. It was actually soda and pretzels and beer. But we're not talking about pretzels on today's show. We're talking about pizza. Hey, not all the transitions can be solid gold, okay? Do you remember the first time you ever ate pizza? Boy, I sure do. It was Sunday night right after church at a friend's house. His name was Rusty Wood. Yeah, I know. Rusty Wood sounds like some kind of made-up name, but it's not. His real name was Joel. I have no idea how he got the nickname Rusty, but clearly somebody in his family just didn't think that one through. But anyway, the first time I ever tasted pizza was at Rusty Wood's house. I was about, 10 or 12 years old. This was the late 50s, and my parents really didn't make pizza at home. Plus, when they went out to eat, it was for seafood or Mexican food or something a little more exotic than pizza. So I had literally never eaten pizza before. I do remember I loved it, though. And I do remember I begged my parents to have pizza, but we just never did that very much. Not sure why. So the subject for today's edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is pizza, homemade pizza. I came up with that idea after I heard a story about an Amtrak train that got stuck on the tracks for hours. It was out in the boonies somewhere between New York City and Washington, D.C. Did you read about this? It's a great story. This Amtrak train, it had some kind of technical difficulty, and had to stop and wait for a rescue train to get the passengers to D.C. The passengers were stranded out there for so long, something like 7 hours, that this one passenger named Mitch Katz ordered pizzas to be delivered to the train, and he even tweeted, "Got hangry and problem solved." Yup, a pizza shop somewhere in Delaware sent their longtime delivery man, a guy named Jim Leary, out to search for the train with the pizzas. He even crawled down a hill and through a muddy ditch to deliver these pizzas. What you want to bet he got a heck of a tip? You know, there's a heck of a PR campaign. Pizza delivery? We go anywhere. The Postal Service ain't got nothing on us. Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor muddy ditches stay these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. You know, that delivery guy, what was his name again? Jim Leary, yeah. He deserves a promotion and a raise. It was a Dom's Pizzeria. That was the name of the restaurant. They couldn't buy that kind of advertising in the New York Times, even if they could afford it. And you know they can't. But who needs delivery pizza when you can make your own pizza at home? After all, this is the Outdoor Cooking Show. And if you build your own pizza at home, you can use whatever toppings you want. You don't have to settle for whatever the pizza place offers. Yes, you can buy frozen pizza at the grocery store if you want, or you could get really creative and buy some pre-made pizza dough at the store instead, and then hand-fashion the crust in your kitchen. All you have to do is just ladle on pizza sauce. You can use as much as you want. You can add the toppings you want. And voila, homemade pizza. Of course, there are lots of different ways to actually cook that pizza, so you may not even know where to start when it comes to that part of the process. Well, never fear. That's why we're here. Pizza! It's not just for delivery anymore.
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Huh, like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
This is Rob D'Amico of Big Green Egg Cookers. Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Randy, thanks for having me on, man. I do appreciate it. And I can't wait to talk some food with you on our Big Green Egg.
Now, first of all, let me begin by saying we've talked to hundreds of people in the outdoor cooking world, and you guys at Big Green Egg have a great reputation.
Yeah, and we love that. You know, the egg outperforms a lot of the other grills out there and smokers, and because it does everything. It's so versatile. You can grill, roast, smoke, bake, braise, you know, breads, pizzas, low and low, whatever you need to do. If you're cooking it outside, it can be done. Cookies, pies, you name it. And that's the one good thing. It's so versatile. And I think that's where a lot of backyard guy just on the weekends or a chef or a foodie, it doesn't matter. It fits all lifestyles, which is really cool.
So let's start out by having you give us a rundown on how Big Green Egg got started. What's your company history?
Yeah, so Ed Fisher is the owner of the company, and he started this. He owned a pachinko machine place here in Atlanta. So he was bringing these, it's like a slot machine game back from Japan, and selling them. And we noticed it was more of a gift. So you, towards the end of the year, Christmas time, you know, the Father's Day, the holiday kind of areas, he was selling this product, but needed something to draw people in during the summer months and all that. So he brought back this clay Kamado cooker and started cooking some chicken wings outside his store. And then people would come up, man, that chicken was so good. What was that on? What is that device? So he started bringing some of those over, but what is happening, since they were clay, they were breaking. So half the inventory he was bringing over were breaking. And then at that point, he was like, let me see if I can figure out a way to have and build our own ceramics here and come up with this concept. And the Big Green Egg was born. It was, he talks about the different colors that he could have used and, purple polka dots, whatever. He could have picked anything, and it ended up being green. And he was doing an interview one time with the local paper, and he didn't really have a name for it. He just called it a Kamado, you know, grill and smoker. And it ended up being, it looks like, you know, big egg. It's green. And that's where the name kind of came together for him. And it's been that way ever since 1974.
Well, big green eggs are not always necessarily big, though. Tell us about the different sizes you guys offer.
So there's 7 convenient sizes, everything from a mini up to a double X, which I like to call as a rolling hot tub. It's that big. It's humongous. But the mini is usually the tailgate. The mini max is probably the more popular one of the small, because you can carry it. You could take it to a tailgate. It's big enough to cook food for multiple people. The mini is kind of a, you know, 1-2 person deal. It's campsite kind of thing. But the tailgate version of the Minimax has really been, in the last couple of years, picked up pace. The double X on the other side is more for the caterers and restaurants and people who want to put it in there and they have to cook a lot of food. XL, the large, are the most popular in the backyard sector. And then you have the medium and small, which kind of go with RVs, you know, the apartment living, you know, something that's a little bit smaller that you're cooking for, you know, 1-4 people.
Today's show focuses on making pizza at home, or the title I gave it, Pizza. It's not just for delivery anymore. So Big Green Egg is perfect for cooking a homemade, customized pizza right in your own backyard, right? Explain, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So with pizza, I love making pizza. That's one of my favorite things. If you go to our website, biggreenegg.com/pizza, you'll see a great video of one of our friends here in the Atlanta area who has an Italian market. He cooks pizza, he does all this stuff, but he knows cooking a pizza on an egg is fantastic once you get it down, because there are some growing pains when you're doing that. So when you're looking at an egg, the first thing you want to do is get a convector. What does a convector do? The convector basically deflects the heat, makes it an oven, a convection oven. So now that gives you that opportunity to bake. So then you add a pizza stone in there. And I know a lot of you guys talk about pizza stones. And pizza stone is very important because that's where your pizza is actually going to cook. It's going to draw the moisture out of the dough. And there's different doughs. And we can get into that here in a second, because that's the one thing that people don't understand is the different types of doughs. When you're cooking at different temperatures, it does make a difference. You make the pizza any way you want it. That's the great part about this. It's my sauce. It's the cheese that I choose. the vegetables that I like, whether it's out of my garden or, you know, going to my favorite grocery store. It's whatever I want on that pizza. And it's great for the family because now I can make my pizza and then my kids can make theirs. You know, if you know my son wants sausage and peppers, bam, he's got that. My daughter wants vegetables, she's got that. My wife wants to have something, she's got that. We can make any pizza we want instead of getting a delivery on a box showing up with, all right, well, I want this, I got to pick this off. Or it's totally customizable to whatever you want, and that's what makes it a lot of fun and draws, you know, a crowd whenever you're cooking pizza on this green egg, and you open it up and there's this beautiful pizza on there. They're like, how in the world are you doing that on that thing?
Well, you mentioned dough. Let's talk about dough. You can make your own or you can buy pizza dough in a grocery store, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So a lot of the grocery stores, like, they all come out now with their own dough that you get. But then you also, if you have a local pizzeria, a lot of them will sell you their dough, which is great because they do make a higher heat dough if that's what you're looking for. But truly, if you're going to make it and you want to do something authentic, go out and get Double Zero. It's a finer dough that it'll take that high heat, if you will. The moisture content's a little different in it, but that's what it's built for. So you can do it at a 650, 700 degree pizza if you want. Some people go a little hotter than that. And that's where a lot of people make mistakes when using an egg, is they'll use this grocery store dough that's not necessarily made for high heat. So you have to cook it at the, you know, the normal 450 like you would in an oven, maybe 500. But once you start doing that, you want to cook your pizza for the dough, and then you can worry about changing how you're cooking the top, because you can, you know, when you set up an egg, you have the convector, which is deflects the heat, then you have your grid, and then you have your pizza stone. You want to create a little bit of a gap. You want to put about a 2-3 inch gap in between what the convector, which is the deflector, and then your pizza stone. So you get that air flowing underneath the pizza stone, so you don't get that almost like direct heat coming from the deflector and the convector there, so you don't get the burnt crust. So I think that's where a lot of people may struggle. But once you get the hang of it, sometimes you're right on. You get it the first time you try, and it's spot on. A couple times, it may take you 2 or 3 pizzas. So if you're doing that, you know, if it's your first time, buy a couple extra dough so you have that opportunity to make those mistakes and learn from them. And then you'll perfect it. And when you do, you will never order pizza online again. It's almost like when I cook a steak. I used to go to these high-end restaurants before I had an egg, and now that I have an egg, I can cook a filet mignon just like I'm going to one of these high-end restaurants. I don't even go out to eat a steak anymore because it is that phenomenal when you get the hang of it and do it right on an egg.
Well, the idea of buying more dough than you actually need is a great tip. But what other tricks have you developed over the years that'll help our backyard chefs?
So when you're first making your pizza, a lot of people will lay out the dough, you know, stretch it out, flatten it, however you do that. If you throw it in the air, great. If you have a rolling pin, it doesn't matter how you get there. And it doesn't have to be perfectly round. No one's perfect. This doesn't have to be the store-bought where, you know, goes through this machine and flattens it out. It's okay if it's the shape of Florida. It doesn't matter, you know. It's a pizza. You're going to enjoy it no matter what. Some people will make the pizza right there and then try to lift it up off of whether it's a cutting board or the counter or whatever you're on. They forget to put down a little dough and it sticks there. And then you have a hard time getting it on the peel and they're not flouring up the peel. So when they go to put it on the egg or put it in an oven or whatever they're using, in my case, the egg, it's hard to get off the peel. You got to remember to put the little flour down. You can put cornmeal down. It doesn't matter what you put down. Just make sure you get something that's there so it'll slide off nice and easy when you're making that pizza. I think that's one of the big mistakes a lot of people made. They struggle with transporting it from the counter to the whatever device they ended up using to cook it with.
Rob, I can't believe we've run out of time already, and we didn't even get time to talk about your egg accessories. This has been Rob D'Amico of the Big Green Egg. It's the ultimate cooking experience. If you've never seen a Big Green Egg in action, you don't know what you're missing. Rob, this interview has been exactly what we wanted.
Well, I appreciate that, Randy. And don't forget, you can go to our website, biggreenegg.com. And I appreciate your time, man. Love listening to your show.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. Spring means squash, cucumbers, purple hull peas, and okra. Plus, Froberg's Farm will let you pick your own green beans, eggplant, peppers, and tomatoes. Pay by the pound. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Headed home from the field with an ice cooler full of wild game? Drop it off at Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility and see how they've taken wild game processing and made it a front door experience. Belleville Meat Market hasn't changed the quality of their products or services for 35 years, so they're not changing because they're growing. They're growing because they haven't changed. Take your wild game to Belleville Meat Market's new wild game processing plant and take the worry out of processing it into any high-quality cut of meat you want. And if you can't make it to Belleville Meat Market, be sure you check out their newly redesigned website and online store, BellevilleMeatMarket.com, offering a wide variety of their most popular pecan smoke products. But if you've got wild game, Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility will handle everything for you, and it's right next door to their landmark location. Belleville Meat Market and Wild Game Processing Center, conveniently located just 14 miles north of I-10 and 14 miles south of Highway 290 on Highway 36 in Belleville. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in 4 different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all 4 flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
Say hello now to Tim Cole, who's the COO of Forno Bravo, the world's finest pizza ovens. How's it going, Tim?
Pretty well. Thanks for having me.
The subject for today's show is pizza. It's not just for delivery anymore. So start out by telling us how Forno Bravo was established and what you guys offer.
Okay, so Forno Bravo was established in 2003 by a Silicon Valley entrepreneur who had retired and moved to Italy. and he kind of fell in love with wood-fired cooking. So he started it as a blog, and when he moved back to the United States, he started Forno Bravo as a do-it-yourself kit where he published free oven plans and told you how to build and how to source all the materials to do your own outdoor pizza oven from Firebrick. And then he said, but if you don't want to go through all that work, you can buy an oven from me. And we rapidly established ourselves as a leader in the residential marketplace and a player in the commercial market segment as well. And we now produce both refractory pizza ovens and stainless steel pizza ovens out of Colorado that competes with a lot of the lesser expensive imports from like China and places like that.
Now, your website features a lot of pictures of outdoor pizza ovens, but you offer indoor units too, right? Tell us about both kinds.
Yes. So we are UL certified for indoor or outdoor installation for all commercial applications for wood, gas, or combination. And we're also certified for homeowners for indoor installation for wood. And we're UL tested for outdoor installation to include gas. So wood, anywhere you want it, anyhow you want it. Commercial, we can add gas. For homeowners, we only offer the gas option for outdoor.
Now, there are lots of different options on your website, but the one that intrigued me the most was the Pompeii Oven Kit. Looks like an economical alternative. Give us the details.
Okay, so, you know, ironically, it's actually not as economical as you think. It is, but it isn't. So yeah, the plans are free. And if you buy the kit from us or you source your own materials, you're going to spend between $1,000 and $2,000 worth of materials, but it's the labor. So if you have a contractor doing it, it can be very expensive because it'll take them a few weeks to build it. If you're doing it yourself or as part of a family project, then it can be very inexpensive. And that's one of the reasons why we offer the free plans, is people will build these ovens all over the world in very poor communities and use whatever's locally available.
And Forno Bravo also offers a survey that customers can take on their website that will help them choose the right pizza oven for their needs. But let's discuss the overall advantages of a pizza oven to a conventional oven, like all of us have in our kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the pizza oven better?
Well, it goes back to 3,000-4,000 years ago in Egypt with community bread ovens. And it was improved in Italy a few thousand years later. And basically what it comes down to is when you're cooking with what was referred to as a refractory oven, whether it's a commercial grade refractory oven or it's a brick oven that you build yourself, these ovens can get to a very high thermal mass, very similar to a kiln that makes pottery. And because it can cook at such high temperatures, 800-900 degrees and even more, it cooks the food very fast, which has some advantages to it. The disadvantage is that it takes a little while to get at the temperature, but the advantage is once you cook it, it cooks at such a high temperature that it produces the food very fast and it produces it at a higher quality, which we can talk about.
Yeah, let's do talk about that. How long does it take to get the fire right and what temperature are you looking for?
The temperature will vary depending on what you're cooking. So even though we call it a pizza oven, you can make anything in it. Our community cookbook has a few hundred recipes from chefs from all over the world, including celebrity chefs, as well as three-time James Beard Award winner Peter Reinhardt, as well as Italian-trained chefs, etc. And if they're baking bread, they're typically baking in the 500-degree range. If they're making pizza, it depends on the recipe. Some chefs like to cook in the 500-degree range. Some like to cook in the 800-900-degree range. It depends on their recipe. It depends on how many toppings they have. But it really comes down to how hydrated their dough is. The higher hydration dough, like an 80-85% water range, is cooked at very high temperatures. If you reduce the hydration, you're reducing the temperature. And that's what allows you to get the cook with a very crispy crust that doesn't go soft very fast.
So that would also dictate how long it takes to cook a pizza in a wood-burning oven, right?
Exactly. So if you're cooking in an 800-900 degree range and you're cooking, say, an Italian margherita pizza, which is just very simple ingredients, that pizza can cook in 90 seconds or less.
Wow.
If you're cooking at 700 degrees, then that pizza might take two and a half minutes. And when you put the pizza in, the floor deck is about 800 degrees for an Italian certified, what they call Vera Pizza Napoletana. It's about 800 degrees at the deck and about 900 degrees at the dome. And that temperature differential, what it does is it gets that crust and it gets that char on it. And you see those black spots. and it gets it nice and crispy. And then you turn it after about half that time, you turn it 180 degrees and put it back into position to even the cook out. And then you pick it up for a couple seconds with a pizza peel and you do what they call doming, which caramelizes the mozzarella and the ingredients on the top. And then you pull it out and you're ready to eat.
One of the reasons why I'm the host of the Outdoor Cooking Show is because I am not ashamed to admit I'm a neophyte at outdoor cooking, and I'll ask the stupid questions that other people are too embarrassed to ask. So here goes. Should we use a pizza stone or just a cooking sheet?
Well, in our ovens, you don't need a pizza stone or a cooking sheet. The pizza stone is designed to give you some of the features of a high temperature cook, but it's not the same as cooking at a high temperature. It's designed to give you that crispy char, so it's a texture decision. Same thing with a cookie sheet. You know, metal is very heat conductive. So like an 836 baking steel or artisan steel or something like that, it's designed to give you that crispiness, but it's still cooking in that 400 or 500 degree range. Some of those pizza stones can't exceed 700 degrees without cracking. So the pizza oven has a NSF4 rated floor in our oven, which means that it's food safe. And it's a fire clay surface, and it's porous. So it's different than a pizza stone or steel baking in that it allows the water to escape the crust and get into the porous fire clay and then releases steam. Whereas some of those baking steels and pizza stones, they'll give you a crispy crust, but it'll trap the moisture above the crust, which means that after a few seconds, it'll start to get soggy and go limp. So it doesn't maintain that texture for quite as long a period of time unless you make adaptations to your recipe.
Now, let's talk about preparing the pizza to be cooked. And a lot of people will prefer to use pre-made, uncooked pizzas, say from a grocery store. Will those work in your pizza ovens?
Yes, they'll work. They'll work on a pizza stone. They'll work on a baking sheet. And you can do that. The key is that anything that's pre-made, typically when you're using ingredients, it's designed to be used for a certain temperature. So you want to make sure that you get the temperature right. So if you want to cook at 500 degrees, you put a smaller fire in there. The Italian philosophy is that if you cook at very high temperatures, the food will cook faster. And you get the flavor from two things. Wood will create some flavor, but the real reason why it tastes so much better is because at very high temperatures, you're not baking all of the good stuff out of the food. So if you choose good ingredients and you bake at high temperatures, the pizza is going to taste a lot better than if you're using inferior ingredients or cooking at lower temperatures over a longer period of time that bakes that goodness out of the food.
Makes sense.
So that's the core principle behind these high temperature refractory ovens, is you can bake at very high temperatures.
And what type of wood do you suggest?
Well, the wood that you want to use typically is going to be hardwood. You don't want it to be too dry because it'll burn too fast. You don't want it to be too wet because it'll smolder and you'll have difficulty getting at the temperature. So you're usually going to use 15 to 20% moisture. It would be dry, cured, and seasoned. Fruit woods are good. Apples, very popular. You know, you can use any type of hardwood. Oak, obviously, is a staple. You want to stay away from woods with a lot of sap. If you use bark, it's going to generate more smoke, but you can reduce the bark and you'll get less smoke. So at very high temperatures, over 500 degrees, you actually burn the carbon out of the wood, and the wood smoke goes virtually colorless.
Tim, I can't believe we've run out of time already. We had so many things we wanted to touch on. Hope you'll come back on the show. This is Tim Cole of Forno Bravo, the world's finest pizza ovens. Give us your website, Tim.
Our website is fornobravo.com, FornoBravo.com. And it hosts a variety of free content, like a community cooking, Pizza Quest with Peter Reinhart. All that content's free and readily available.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. Spring means squash, cucumbers, purple hull peas, and okra. Plus, Froberg's Farm will let you pick your own green beans, eggplant, peppers, and tomatoes. Pay by the pound. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
This is our general manager here at Edgewater Studios. His name is Chuck Sweeney. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
I always ask of people this, is this the first time you've ever appeared on the radio?
Yes, this is my debut radio appearance.
Well, I don't have a bell to ring, so I'll just have to go ding, 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 ding. To commemorate the occasion.
Woo-hoo.
Are you nervous?
No, it's very comfortable here chatting with you.
There is no need. It's just two guys talking to each other in a room with a couple of thousand people listening.
Ah.
People complain to me sometimes about things I say and do on the radio, and I often say to them, how would you feel if someone came into your place of business and stood over your shoulder and scrutinized everything you did all day long? Well, multiply that by 250,000 people, and welcome to my world.
Wow, that's enough to make your hair fall out.
So, Let's start by having you tell us where you grew up, where you went to school, all of that kind of thing.
Well, sure. I grew up in the rock and roll capital of the world, Cleveland, Ohio, actually. Yeah, a small town outside of Cleveland called Bay Village, just a mile or so from one of the Great Lakes, Lake Erie. So I grew up there and was exposed to my love of music, or developed a love of music there growing up in Cleveland. And came down to Texas after high school to start college in San Antonio at St. Mary's University. That's what brought me here to Texas.
So what career path did you follow?
Well, once I graduated from college, I pursued a career in sales. My love for music continued as a hobby. I never thought I was talented enough to make a career out of that. And I pursued a sales career and ended up in telecommunications for quite a long time. I say it's about 35-year career in telecommunications. Eventually ended up here in Houston. I was a regional vice president at Time Warner Cable before Comcast took over. And I've been really happy here. Houston and the Sugarland area is a great place.
So your love of music and your expertise in sales and marketing is actually what brought you to Edgewater Studios.
Yes. A few years ago, I decided to exit the telecommunications industry after so many years. I wanted a change, and I began looking for something I could do that I could be more passionate about.
So what do you do for Edgewater Studios?
Well, one of the most rewarding things I do is review, locate, develop relationships with emerging young music artists, talented singers, songwriters, bands, people who want to make music their career. And we have a fantastic recording studio and a superb record producer and engineering staff that is putting out some really remarkable, groundbreaking albums for these artists. So I get a chance to work with a lot of young people who share a passion for music with me.
And you also work with Edgewater Multimedia, which is another arm of our business. And my daughter is involved in that, in graphic design, web design. So you help sell those kinds of services to people?
Yes. And there's a little overlap there, but I split my time between developing the music side of our business and developing the multimedia side of our business. That's graphic design, web design, photography, video. And when we're working on multimedia, typically they're small and medium-sized businesses located in Fort Bend County or the greater Houston metropolitan area. But the truth is sometimes we're working on websites and graphic design projects for some of our musical customers as well.
And I have to mention your beautiful little daughter, Annie. How old is she now?
Yes, she's really the light of my life. She'll be 19 in July.
So she's in college.
She's chosen a career in photography, of all things, which is another one of my hobbies and passions. I introduced her to photography a few years back, and she took to it with great gusto.
Good.
I got her a professional-grade camera, and the funny story is the day she opened up that gift, she was so happy. She nearly cried. And I told her, you know, you're going to have to read this manual that came with the camera. It's this really thick paper manual. And I said, I know you want to rush out and take pictures, and that's what we'll do right now. But when we get back, you're going to have to start reading this manual. And she said, oh, Dad, we don't read manuals anymore. We just go to YouTube.
Yeah, I get that too out of my daughter.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure it out another way.
So listeners might reasonably ask themselves in this moment, why is Randy interviewing his own general manager for the Outdoor Cooking Show? And I will confess that it's another example of shameless self-promotion of Edgewater Studios. But beyond that, you and I were talking the other day about this show, Pizza, It's Not Just for Delivery Anymore. And you confessed that you have used a pizza stone on many occasions. First of all, what's the concept behind pizza stones, and where did you get your first one?
It was years ago, and I can't remember exactly where I got the first one, although I assume it might have been at a Bed Bath & Beyond or something like that, where I typically go when I need something for the home. And I know it was when pizza stones first came out, because it was kind of a craze. A lot of people were getting them. There was only one size.
Right.
It had one function, to bake pizzas. And since then, I think they've come in a variety of shapes and sizes. I remember it came with a metal holding rack or something.
Uh-huh. So that, you could have handles to
pick it up. Yeah, to pick it up out. And That part of it was a little frustrating because it was a little precariously perched on this little wire thing.
Now, you used it in the oven in your kitchen.
Yes, I used it a very traditional way. I don't consider myself a chef or even a foodie necessarily. I was a bachelor for many years after college and cooked my own meals often. And actually, I worked as a cook in a restaurant in high school.
Really?
Yes, I worked.
Did not know this. I'm learning new stuff about
yes,
it.
I started at a dish ring at the neighborhood Red Lobster.
Wow.
Which was, I don't recommend that job to anybody. If you can imagine cleaning up people's seafood leftovers.
Yes. Yeah.
I did really well there. I mean, I was diligent, and they quickly moved me into fry cook and eventually other cooking positions.
So getting back to the pizza stone, what is the purpose of using a pizza stone in the first place?
I suppose everybody's cooked a frozen pizza out of the freezer at one time or another. And one of the big frustrations I always had in preparing any type of a pizza in the oven was the top of the pizza would cook faster than the dough or the frozen dough part of the pizza. So either I could time it so that the dough was perfectly hot and crispy and tasty and the toppings would be burned, or the toppings would be perfectly cooked with just a touch of golden brown, but the dough would still be a little soggy and flimsy and nasty, frankly. So I remember trying foil and putting foil over the top of the pizza because the metal of the foil would reflect heat off the
toppings.
The toppings, exactly. Thank you. And allow the dough to cook. But of course, the cheese would stick to the foil, and that wasn't a perfect solution either.
So the pizza stone solves this problem.
Well, yeah, because in reality, when you're using a metal tray or metal pan to cook a frozen pizza or anything frozen, or probably anything for that matter, the metal pan does the same thing that foil was doing. It reflects the radiant heat of the oven. So that's why the dough wasn't cooking, is it sitting on this metal pan that was shielding it from the heat coming out of the oven. So what the purpose of that pizza stone is, one, I think it works best if you allow it to preheat.
Right.
So you're basically setting a frozen pizza on top of an already superheated stone. The stone is porous. It doesn't reflect heat. It absorbs and transmits heat. So I learned the first time I cooked a pizza, it was like a miracle. I set it on there and I checked it. And when the toppings looked perfectly done, I pulled the stone out, set it on the countertop, cut it right there. And lo and behold, the dough was just perfectly golden brown and ready to eat.
And you just answered one of the questions I was going to ask. You put the frozen pizza right into the oven. You didn't thaw it first.
And I think most of the instructions on the pizza boxes say take it straight from the freezer to the oven.
Now, one of the things I want to ask before we run out of time is, you mentioned some cleaning techniques. Briefly go over those.
Basically, it's the easiest thing to clean in the world. You just put it in the oven and run the oven's self-cleaning cycle, which superheats the oven, as you probably know, and it causes all of the debris or whatever that's stuck to the side of the oven and to the stone. It turns it all into ash. Mm-hmm. So with the first time you open up that oven and look at that stone after that cycle, it looks like a brand new pizza stone that somebody sprinkled a bunch of ashes on.
Pizza stones with our general manager, Chuck Sweeney, here at Edgewater Studios. Thank you, Chuck. Now go sell something. Remember, coffee is for closers.
Yes, always be closing.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?